Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Mennonite theology has inherited this sort of strange piece of biblical reading called the Gospel of All Creatures. It comes from a verse in Mark. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation." Except in the Latin, the whole creation becomes every creature. Greek is a little loose on prepositions. So when Hans Hut read this, he read, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news of every creature, the gospel of all creatures." Now, Hans Hut didn't mean that every creature gets a sermon or needs to make a confession of faith. We don't baptize cats and dogs. Pretty sure cats wouldn't allow you to do that, even if you wanted to. Instead, Hans Hut was talking about the way that creatures, non-human animals, proclaim to us the suffering of Jesus. We can notice, we can attend to the crucifixion of Jesus and the suffering and death of animals. And I thought about Hans Hut today and that he might have something to say to us as we spend this Palm Sunday with the Gospel of Luke and a very prominent donkey, un burrito, in our reading today. Y'all, Luke spends an extremely long time talking about this donkey. First, Jesus tells the disciples to go to the village and find a baby donkey. Then he tells them what to say if there's questions from the owner. And then the disciples do this. There are questions from the owner. They say what Jesus tells them to say. Then they throw some coats on the baby donkey, and Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the baby donkey. I think we're kind of getting who the main character is of this story. Who are the two disciples? We don't know. What town are they sent from? No idea. But we do find out that the colt is tied and untied 5 different times. In other words, the normal details of like who and where are totally absent from Luke's version of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Yet we are given a paragraph about a baby donkey, which is, in fact, the same number of verses that Luke devotes to the entire institution of the Lord's Supper. So I think we're supposed to pay attention to the donkey. We prayed through the psalm today that links together the entry into Jerusalem with the coming of the Messiah. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. Jesus also fulfills this prophecy from Zechariah. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey, un burrito. Jesus, the expected one, the anointed, the Messiah, the king of creation, is on a donkey fulfilling the prophecies of God's people. But maybe there's something more here to this baby donkey who plays such a significant role in the story. Most of our Anabaptist ancestors in the 16th century were illiterate farmers and laborers, the poorest of the poor, workers who witnessed death and tragedy every day. Their work was filled with death, and often that was the death of animals. At times that was to illness, at other times it was to butchering for food, sometimes it was an accident. Animals suffered and labored and even cared for people. Jesus did the same. We even feed on the bodies of animals, just as Jesus tells us that his body is the bread of life. All around us every day, Hans Hut tells us that we see creation ordered towards Jesus' suffering that brings life. And in the same way, our suffering in solidarity with our neighbors and sacrificing time to visit people in prison and giving our money away and our refusal to bow down to the powers of this world, we see in that suffering Jesus reflected here. And while we may not think about donkeys that much, if we lived in a time without motorized vehicles, these animals would play a very significant role in our lives. If you've lived in a country today that isn't industrialized, like when our family lived in Palestine, you would also see a lot more of donkeys in everyday life. They carry water and produce, children and firewood. These animals can carry tremendous loads, and yet they are gentle and stoic. Kings rode on donkeys in the same way that a general drives a tank into battle, not because it looked fancy, but because it was for the gritty work of war. In World War II, 80,000 donkeys carried supplies through the trenches. Donkeys can do just about any work thrown at them, anywhere, from hauling the dead from battlefields to carrying a pregnant mother to Bethlehem. And as he enters Jerusalem, Jesus is reworking the symbols of Israel's history in front of them. A donkey can be an instrument of war, but it can also be an instrument of peace. A king can rule through terror and repression and violence, but a king who is like God will initiate a peace, a reign of peace forever. I think that's the sort of thing that Hans Hut wanted those first Anabaptists, our spiritual ancestors who were also facing horrific violence, to understand about their faith. We can't get out of suffering. We see it all around us. And yet we live among creatures who bear witness to our suffering, not destroying enemies on a battlefield, but bearing literal burdens in the service and care of us. At the same time, it feels like a misstep to make animals simply a symbol for human lessons, because other creatures aren't just metaphors, because God is working redemption in all of creation, because God promises us a new creation, because we are people who live and move within the redemption of all things, even donkeys. Another reason that Luke spends so much time on the donkey in the story is he really wants to keep the story away from nationalism. Even with all the kingly images in the story, Luke wants to be clear that Jesus is not trying to establish an alternative Rome. Today's gospel is actually a bit awkward for Palm Sunday because there are, in fact, no palm branches in it. People actually throw their coats in front of Jesus, not palm branches. It's also likely that Luke does this because he doesn't want to draw Jesus into the same images as the ceremonial parades for Caesar. Because for Luke and for Jesus, a political triumph is actually too small. Jesus comes not for a temporary victory over occupying rulers. Jesus comes to free creation from the bondage of sin and death. One of my favorite Christmas carols is Joy to the World. And arguably, it isn't actually a Christmas carol. Jesus' birth isn't mentioned. When Isaac Watts wrote, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come," he meant the second coming of Jesus, not the first. But we are just as likely to sing Joy to the World here on Palm Sunday, or no Palm Sunday. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. In this hymn, heaven and nature sing together about God's redemption. And as Jesus enters Jerusalem, we hear some of the religious leaders telling Jesus to stop his disciples from this blasphemy as they're singing, "Blessed is the King, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And Jesus tells them, if they were silent, even these stones would shout. Nationalism is too small for Jesus. People shouting is too small for Jesus. The promise of peace proclaimed at the foot of Jerusalem, it will echo through plants and animals and mountains and rivers. Even the rocks will cry out. Jesus comes to redeem creation and us in it, to make us whole. I spent a lot of time this week wondering what happened after Jesus dismounted this donkey in Jerusalem. Maybe the owner heard the ruckus and rushed out to reclaim his property. Or maybe someone else saw a free beast of burden and snatched him from the crowd and put him to work. But I have little doubt that that burrito went on to live a hard life, a life of toil, that he was worked and worked. And so I hope that in the redemption of all things, this colt is caught up with all of us in the peace of God. This is a poem Dedicated to That Donkey by Mary Oliver. The poet thinks about a donkey. On the outskirts of Jerusalem, the donkey waited. Not especially brave or filled with understanding, he stood and waited. How horses turned out into the meadows leapt with delight. How doves release from their cages clatter away, splashed with sunlight. But the donkey, tied to a tree as usual, waited. Then he let himself be led away. Then he let the stranger mount. Never had he seen such crowds. And I wonder if he at all imagined what was to happen. Still, he was what he's always been. Small, dark, obedient. I hope, finally, he felt brave. I hope, finally, he loved the man who rode so lightly upon him. As he lifted one dusty hoof and stepped, as he had to, forward. Amen.